Now we have our Bible reading. This morning this is from Matthew chapter 4, starting at verse 12. Now, when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the lake, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And thank you, Alison, for reading that to us. We are going to turn now to our teaching. And as we begin this series on Malcolm Duncan's book, today we're going to be thinking about some of those foundations of the kingdom. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that your kingdom has drawn near, that our job is to proclaim that kingdom through how we live, through what we say to our world. And Lord, I pray that this season, this next 6 weeks, will be a time of growth as we learn new ideas, new ways to be your people. Amen. Well, here we are, folks. We are at the beginning of 6 weeks of our new series, all based around Malcolm Duncan's amazing book, Flipped: Life in the Upside Down Kingdom. And really, over the next 6 weeks, we're going to take a deep dive into what life in God's kingdom looks like for us today. And it's all through the lens of Matthew's gospel. And my aim this morning is to really try and introduce us to this concept of kingdom, to try and put in place some of the key ideas. It's a bit like putting in the foundations of a building. What we do today means we can build on it in all the subsequent weeks, and it helps all those other weeks make a little bit more sense. So it's a big topic, lots to do, so let's dive straight in with kind of my first question on it, which is, well, what is the kingdom of God? Well, this isn't a new idea to people in Jesus' day, far from it. When Matthew, who's the gospel who refers most to this concept, refers to either the kingdom, sometimes calls it God's kingdom or the kingdom of heaven, if you were a Jewish first century person hearing that or reading it, it would all point to one central idea for you. And that idea was namely this. It was about the rule and reign of God. That was that what was happening in heaven was going to come to pass on earth in a real and tangible way. A belief that God wanted to demonstrate the kingdom of heaven fully on the earth. And as I say, this isn't a new idea at all. You heard it in that little excerpt from Matthew we just heard. Jesus is quoting the prophet Isaiah, and he is making a clear link back to what he is saying about the coming kingdom and being the Messiah who's going to bring in that kingdom. So this is an idea that goes right back through the history of God's people. This is something they are anticipating and looking forward to. So when Jesus says that the kingdom has come near, everyone who heard him say that in that day would understand. They would go, this is the moment in history we've been waiting for. This is the moment where God's going to come and act and make a difference. The world is going to change. Now, the kingdom Jesus ushers in, of course, in that very Jesus fashion, is somewhat different from the expectations that some of the people had in that day. Because, again, the expectation of this Messiah and God's kingdom coming in, people were imagining a powerful ruler, ruling like an earthly king with political might, with power to impose how things were going to be. And what Jesus does is he flips this vision completely upside down, doesn't he? He reveals that God's kingdom actually looks quite different from an earthly model of power. Instead of a palace or a throne, we have a manger and a cross. Instead of power being in the hands of the few, Jesus welcomes in the many. That's why Malcolm Duncan's chosen to call his book Flipped, because what happens in the kingdom of God is it takes so much of what we think of as power, as influence, and it turns the whole thing right over on its head. So that's a little bit on what is the kingdom. And the second question that leads out of that is this is, well, where is this kingdom? Jesus said it's come near, but where's that? You know, where is it? Well, the kingdom is here. It's wherever Jesus' followers are today. Kingdom of God is in your living room, your kitchen, wherever you are this morning. Alison was describing about bringing some of that presence of God and acknowledging Jesus' presence in her working day. It's in our workplaces, our schools, our neighbourhoods. That's where Jesus is. Wherever we are, that is where the kingdom is. And this kingdom kind of has a bit of a stretch timeline, because it's a concept from the past, so it's ancient Jewish concept, and it's a reality in the present, because it starts with Jesus and it continues in us, his followers, today, because we can live under God's rule and reign in our lives. We can choose to shape our lives and the world with him right here, right now. And the kingdom of God, this idea that it's come near, that we are to be changed, to be different as a result, is Jesus's main message. When Jesus got invited around to speak at somebody's synagogue or on the Sermon on the Mount, it was the kingdom of God that he was talking about. That's why it's right at the beginning of his ministry. It's a literary device in the Gospels. You put your main message first. You see it in Mark's Gospel. It's literally right there at the beginning. And in Matthew's, it's right at the beginning of Jesus's ministry. Now, you might think, well, Andrew, that's a fantastic idea that there's this kingdom of God, but I'm not really feeling like I'm seeing tons of widespread evidence of that kingdom here right now. I mean, couldn't Jesus make it a bit more sort of obvious for me? And why is that? Why do we not see this kingdom in its totality? Well, that's because not only is it a concept from the past, not only is it a reality in the present, but it's also still yet to come. It's also a future event. It's what we call the kingdom, is the kingdom of the now and the not yet. Because one day Jesus will return and he will finish what he began in establishing his kingdom. And Jesus will be known, his kingdom will be established over the entire world. And we live in that weird slice of history in between him coming as a person and then him returning as king over everything. One of the analogies people often use is it's a bit like the difference between D-Day and VE-Day in World War II. So on D-Day, World War II's outcome is effectively determined. The Allies are set the path for victory. But of course, it's not until, you know, best part 12 months or so later at VE-Day that the war is won. And we kind of live in that gap, if you like, between D-Day and VE-Day. The kingdom has started, and that battle has been won in one sense, but there's still a way to go before victory is complete. Malcolm Duncan describes this stretch timeline as he says, the kingdom is an established reality, it's a current experience, and a future promise. It starts in the ministry of Jesus, it's continued by us, his followers today, and one day Jesus will return and complete the work he started. So what does it look like, this kingdom? How are we going to experience it for ourselves? Well, life in the kingdom looks a lot like the life of Jesus. He's the living embodiment of the kingdom and what we might expect to see. And it's interesting, isn't it? In the gospel we just heard from Matthew, Jesus declares his main message, and then the very next thing Matthew records is what that message looks like in practice. So he says, the kingdom of God has come near, repent and believe. And then Jesus, verse 23, went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. The kingdom is hallmarked by healing and wholeness. And in the broadest possible terms, not just people who are physically unwell, but the healing of our world and our society in kind of real, broad, wide terms. So we experience that wholeness and healing by being in a direct living relationship with the King, with Jesus. Now, on one level, that's how we are made whole by Jesus. We find our peace, we find our purpose in life by being loved and known by him. And when we know the King, you often experience that your priorities change. And I've seen this lots of times as people have discovered Jesus in a new way. We start to see things how God sees them. We start to see what really is important. We see that things like money and status and power, they slip down the list and they're replaced by loving God and loving our neighbours. It's how we live in our daily lives. The Sermon on the Mount that we're going to look at a little bit later in this series is practical guidance. It tells us how we're supposed to live as salt and light, but it gives us more than that. It's guidance on anger, adultery, divorce, conflict resolution, giving, prayer, money, anxiety, worry, God's provision, judging people, how we treat others, what foundations you have in life. And Jesus wasn't teaching these things as abstract concepts, far from it. He was teaching them as this is what to do each day. This is how to live your life in the kingdom. And healing in Jesus' day had another very important implication, which is restoration and inclusion. Because in his day, if you were ill, you often found yourself on the outside of society and its life, kind of not allowed to participate fully. And one of the things we see time and time and time again in Jesus is his welcome in of those on the edges. We see that restoration. He puts these people right back at the centre. It's a picture of justice. It's a picture of compassion. It's a picture of service. And in terms of, you know, how do we live in the kingdom? Well, we're invited to take part in all of the above and much more with Jesus. And over the next 5 weeks, we're going to get stuck into the nitty-gritty of what life in the kingdom looks like, how it flies in the face of first century Jewish expectation, but how it also flies in the face of 21st century Western European expectation of how the world should be. The kingdom models for us an alternative reality and way of life, which one day, when Jesus comes back, is going to be the norm for everyone. Next Sunday, we are going to look at how we live in a world that says, be your own king. And we're going to look at how Jesus flips that upside down and says, actually, I am the king. Beyond that, we're going to look at the idea that the world tells us to chase popularity, but Jesus tells us to welcome everybody. Again, we're going to look at a culture that where we're reassured that we should keep all that we have. We're going to be encouraged to hear Jesus's call to give all that we have. We'll explore how our culture creates anxiety and worry about tomorrow and how Jesus tells us to trust God. And then we're going to finish out our series by looking at how the world tells us to be our own boss and control our destiny. And Jesus flips that by saying, actually, you need to become like children. We're going to be doing this across our Sundays. And of course, there is an opportunity midweek to go deeper in smaller groups. And I'll talk more about that a little later. But today, this morning, we've really just looked at the foundations, and that's to help us get to grips with all the other stuff that we're going to look at in the next 5 weeks. And I, for one, am really excited because I think that God has got so much for us in this season. There are things that he's going to teach us, and I believe that God is going to set things in motion amongst us. They're going to have like lifelong consequences for us. So let's start as we mean to go on, and let's pray.